Hello, and welcome to the Og Blog Podcast. I'm the Og Blogger, Matt Gertler, the guy who obsesses on peanuts and peanuts-related books. And I do that because they're good and interesting, and because I obsess on things. And I don't just obsess on peanuts books. Both personally and professionally, I am capable of doing what I call rabbit-holing, finding one little thing and then chasing off all the little places where it might lead. And lucky for me, that can integrate well into my little publishing business. A couple years back, I was deep diving on the adult coloring books of the 1960s, back when they were used for humor rather than therapy. I ended up publishing several books collecting them. They haven't sold a lot, haven't made me a lot of money, at least yet, but I'm glad I did it. And sometimes when I'm rabbit-holing on something else, I'll find that it can both flow out of and back into the Peanuts world. For example, I was rabbit-holing on the golf programs that Charles Schulz used to do cartoons for. You can see some of those Peanuts cartoons in The Complete Peanuts, Volume 26. And getting interested in the other cartoons that were also appearing in those programs led to me putting together the book Great Golf Gags by Classic Cartoonists, which has a lot of Schulz, although mainly ones from It's Only a Game, but other vital cartoonists as well. There's Hank Ketchum, the guy who created Dennis the Menace, or Virgil Parch of Big George fame, Eldon Dedini, who did some beautiful cartoons for Playboy, Gus Ariola, whose Gordo strip really needs to have some proper reprinting attention. And in there were a couple cartoons from a guy named Bill O'Malley. Not a name I recognize, but if he's showing up in the golf programs, he's running with the big dogs. So I start chasing him down. I go down that path of the rabbit hole. O'Malley had a healthy career. He actually did a whole book of cartoons about golf, and if the Great Golf Gags book ever becomes a success, I'll probably see about reprinting that. But what got the most attention was his books of cartoons about nuns, mainly about a pair of nuns who would eventually become known as Sister Colleen and Sister Doreen. He started doing these cartoons for a Catholic magazine called Extension, and in 1950, the publisher of Extension, the Catholic Church Extension Society, put out a collection of O'Malley's work called Two Little Nuns. It was a staple-bound book, 70 cartoons and all, and it sold like dynamite. It went through at least 6 printings in the first year alone. Newsweek magazine said that it sold over 200,000 copies at $1 a pop, back when a buck meant something. And success like that, well, that breeds 2 things, jealousy and imitation. O'Malley was apparently unhappy with his pay for it, because he sued the publisher. And here's where I'm going to have to apologize. I'm still rabbit-holing on this. I want to get more information on this lawsuit, but I haven't chased it all the way down yet. Anyway, the upshot was that O'Malley stopped doing cartoons for Extension and ended up putting out 2 books of cartoons about nuns for larger, more mainstream publishers. And Extension, with a hit on their hands, decided they wanted more books of nun cartoons. And if O'Malley wasn't going to do them, they'd get someone else. Now, they had someone else on board who had done other nun cartoons. Joe Eichberger had done his first nun cartoon for them as early as 1942. Joe had done some of his early cartooning work under his own name, doing editorial cartooning and some comic book work for the company now known as DC Comics. I realize some of you might not know about the name DC Comics. You've probably heard the name. DC Comics are the folks who publish Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Justice League, and just about any big-name superhero that isn't published by Marvel. But you may not know where the name comes from. The DC comes from the name of what had been their flagship book in the days before the invention of Superman. It was a series focused on mystery adventure called Detective Comics. Detective Comics still comes out, but not so much about general detection. In issue 27 of Detective Comics, they introduced a new character named the Batman, created, to some degree or another, by Bob Kane. And all these years later, Detective Comics is still around, telling stories about Batman and the Batman family of characters. So when you hear DC Comics, you should really be thinking Detective Comics Comics. Yes, really. But I get back from the digression. Joe Eichberger did some cartooning, started doing cartoons for Extension, and then World War II sucked him in just as it did so many young men. Eichberger served in our Navy and, spoiler warning, we won! And he came back and continued cartooning. But he was also a Chicago fireman. And because of the rules of the Chicago Fire Department, he could not continue cartooning under his own name, but used pseudonyms like Joe Berger or Joe Lane. It was the Joe Lane name that he used when Extension had him doing nun cartoons and priest cartoons, and they leapt at publishing collections of them. they were very much trying to keep up the momentum of the high sales of Two Little Nuns. The first Lean collection was called More Little Nuns and had a first print run of 50,000 copies. A later one was Our Little Nuns. Lane kept doing books of nun cartoons into the 1960s. Eventually, instead of Extension publishing them, they were published by Michael Book Company, which, as far as I can tell, only published Eichberger's work and was probably actually Eichberger himself. All in all, there were a dozen books of the Lane cartoons, at least as I've been able to detect so far. I found a number of good reviews for them, and for the final one, I found a scathing review, written by a nun. As a publisher, I've started reprinting these cartoon books. On Easter this year, I reprinted half a dozen of them. One of them, O'Malley's Two Little Nuns. The other five, some of Joe Lane's books. And I've published a couple more of the Lanes since. But I've also started to discover other books. There's a series of books from a publisher called Abbey Books. They put out five books, four focused on nuns, one on a Monsignor, but they're all with the same cast of characters, all with Irish names, including the red-nosed and at times specifically drunk groundskeeper, and the delicate boy intellectual Oliver, whose love for flowers and other forms of delicateness would likely have had him being called a sissy back in the day, back before the term gay was being thrown around. And there's books like Around the Parish, which collects a cartoon that was syndicated to Catholic papers. What I've seen of it so far is more about the parishioners than the clergy, but it definitely fits in with this run of Catholic cartoons from the 1950s. Probably the best-known, best-remembered of the Catholic clergy cartoons was Brother Juniper, which was the only one I found to be created by a clergyman. Father Justin McCarthy had been playing with the simple, upbeat monk character since 1942, several years before he became a priest. But it was in 1958, well into this swell of Catholic cartoons, that a syndicate picked it up as a single-paneled gag cartoon, which ran for over 30 years, with a number of book collections. Now, I promised you that I'd circle back to Peanuts, and I'm about to do it. You see, I've spent a lot of time working with Charles Schulz's religious cartoons. For those of you who don't know, from the mid-1950s until the mid-1960s, Schulz did single-panel religious cartoons for Youth Magazine, a publication of the Church of God. And for those of you who know that there have been many religious bodies called the Church of God, this was the one from Anderson, Indiana, the one that Schulz was involved with for a fair while. Anyway, these cartoons were about teenage churchgoers, and were run under the name Young Pillars, and occasionally as Teen Nuts. Back in 2007, I published a book called Schulz's Youth, which remains the most complete collection of these cartoons ever published. I'm not convinced that I got quite all of them. There's reason to suspect that there are one or two more lurking out there. But it's a nice thick book of the work that Schulz did for the Church of God publications. It is out of print. My license on the cartoons ran out. But you can still find copies on the used book market. But while it was the most complete collection, it wasn't the first collection. The Church of God's publishing arm put out the first collection in 1958, a book called Young Pillars, and put out other collections over the years. Teenager is Not a Disease, What Was Bugging Old Pharaoh, I Take My Religion Seriously, as well as licensing to mainstream publisher Bantam Books the right to publish a collection called Teenagers Unite. Now, up until recently, I'd always viewed these cartoons as simply an attempt by the church to capitalize on the rapidly growing success of Peanuts. Peanuts are starting to do well. Can we get the same guy to do stuff for the church audience? But it was doing this deep dive into Catholic cartoons that made me start thinking that maybe there was more to it. Maybe this was a reaction to the success some were having with Catholic cartoons, suggesting that there was a room for a non-Catholic alternative. Now, the Church of God puts much stake in being a big tent church. It doesn't really have church members. They don't have a creed. They feel that anyone who follows the Bible is welcome to be one of them. But it comes pretty clearly from a Protestant tradition, and they can cite certain biblical practices that they consider key to Christianity. The only time Catholicism is clearly reflected in the Young Pillar cartoons is one time when one of the teens finds himself on a bus with a couple of nuns and expresses the uncertainty of whether they spoke English or Latin. This cartoon first ran in February 1965, which means that it came out during the Second Vatican Council, more commonly called Vatican II, during which it was decided that religious masses should be done in the local language rather than Latin. So maybe that's what was underlying that joke. Now, I'm looking at all this as an outsider. Where I grew up, there were two types of kids, publics and parochials. The parochials went to a parochial school, Sacred Heart, and the publics went to public school. But even though I was a public, I was not like most of the publics, who were Protestants, I assume. I was one of the rare Jews in my small town. So growing up, the religious differences between the varying forms of Christianity weren't something that I deeply understood, and often seemed so, well, intramural. And even though I now have a better understanding of some of the differences in history, I'm still going to stumble and pause and look things up if I need to know the difference between, say, Lutheran and Methodist, or whether all Baptists are evangelical, or all evangelicals Baptists. But one thing that I can tell you about these 1950s and 1960s cartoons from both sides of the aisle, they were mighty white. Schultz did eventually show a couple black teenagers in his cartoons, but that was after the main run. In 1969, after several years away, he came back and did a handful of additional teenager cartoons. When I got the rights to reprint the Schultz cartoons, I had the folks at Warner Press, that's the Church of God's publishing arm, go through their newsletter Youth to scan all the cartoons that they could find. And I also asked them to check a magazine called Reach. "Oh, we don't think Sparky did any cartoons for Reach," the person I was dealing with said. So I asked them again to check. And they got back to me saying, "We called the person who edited Reach back in the day, and he says Schultz didn't do any cartoons for the magazine." Nonetheless, I asked them to actually check the magazine, and lo and behold, they found a handful of Schultz cartoons that had never been reprinted anywhere before. And one of those cartoons had black characters. But this was after Schultz had already introduced Franklin into Peanuts. In fact, the one male black character in that 1969 cartoon looked a lot like a grown-up Franklin. Other than that, his work on the teenager cartoons was wall-to-wall white. Meanwhile, over in those Catholic cartoons, the ones I've been seeing are heavily white as well, which I find amusing, given the very Latino leaning of the American Catholic Church today. Not that one can always tell a Caucasian from a Latino in cartoon form, but none of the naming, none of the anything suggests anything Latino. But then again, it also is showing very much the nuns of the time. Nuns, well, nuns are much rarer now. For some reason, for a variety of reasons, I suppose, women just haven't had the calling as much. Life does present one with many more options not to be a nun these days. And the nuns of today are much less likely to be spending their time wearing habits. So even when you see a nun, you may not know you're seeing a nun. Odds are reasonably good that if you see a nun in a habit, you're seeing someone who's already wearing one in the 1950s. And while there aren't visible Latinos in the nun strips I've found, they aren't 100% white, but when they aren't, it's not in ways that are an endorsement. As I've said, the biggest base of the nun strips I've uncovered have been the Joe Lane ones, and his depiction of non-white folks is always problematic. Most of the examples I've seen have been of nuns on missionary work, so we get some fairly racist depictions of African natives, or we get nuns teaching Native American children, whose visual depiction is not that bad, but whose cultural depiction is mocking and belittling in ways. And that's an additional point of soreness for me, because my stepmother, the beloved Pocahontas Gertler, was a Native American child taught by nuns, and they were simply oppressive to her. And in the hundreds of Joe Lane cartoons that I've seen so far, there's still some books I've yet to get. I have 8 of the 12 he put out, so that's well over 500 cartoons. Exactly one African-American character appears. And he is drawn as a horrible, barefooted, jet-black caricature. Cringeworthy stuff, out of step with the times even in the 1950s. And I don't think one can explain the general absence of black folks with where Lane was coming from. He lived in Chicago. Trust me. There were Negroes in Chicago in the 1950s. And with the way that so many of the cartoons were about the nuns dealing with the outside world, people of color would have been part of that outside world. Reprinting them has been interesting. That one cartoon with the African American was so problematic that I edited the character out, replaced him with a white character that I clipped from another cartoon. It doesn't kill the central joke in any way. All of the other dubious depictions I left in the various Joe Lane books. To some degree, I'm documenting history there. But I also put out a new book, Nun Funnies, that took the nun cartoons from a bunch of his books, but left out the visibly racist ones. That book is meant as more of an entertainment, and more of a bargain as well. It costs less than twice as much as the reprints of the 1950s edition, and it has about 5 times as many cartoons. If you're looking for entertainment, that's the volume I'd go with. There's some funny stuff there. Or get the Bill O'Malley book, Two Little Nuns. You can find purchasing links at my publishing website, aboutcomics.com. Anyway, that's all the picture as I see it at this particular moment. It looks to me like the Schultz cartoons may have been a reaction to the Catholic successes, but I'm still in the rabbit hole on this stuff. I'm still digging through, picking up more bits of information from more paths, and my understanding may well change as time goes on. And I'm sure there are already other folks out there with a more informed picture of the whole thing. I'm just a guy who likes to fling himself at the details and slowly discover the big picture. The details are where the most fun is anyway. But that's enough of today's discussion. There shall be none more. Send me your comments, insights, and queries at questions@augh.com. That's AAUGH.com. Stop by the blog at blog.augh.com. And until next time, may your teenagers not be a disease. May all your habits be clean ones. And may all your griefs be good ones.